1180 involving a gas tanker southbound San Diego Freeway at Sunset. All responding units identified.
LA 7 Mary 3 and 4 responding.
10-4, 7 Mary 3.
Hi there, did you report a life or death emergency?
I can't sit down.
You can't sit down. What seems to be the trouble, sir?
It hurts back there.
It hurts back there. How long has it hurt back there?
At least 45 minutes.
And these other three people here in the house, are they having trouble sitting down as well, or is it just you?
Listen, I'm not concerned about them. I want you to take me to the hospital right now.
Okay, I see how it's going. You're motor cop.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And that's just a scene from my usual day. Does that happen to you very often?
No, they pretty much do what I, more often than not, do what I tell them to do.
That's strange, because in EMS it's the other way around. They tell us what to do. That is so weird.
It's the gun.
It is the gun. Even though people call me officer all the time and I don't have one, they still tell me what to do. Get that dog out of here. How come they're allowed to do that? Do you ever get mistaken for being a fireman or a paramedic?
No, I don't. But I get mistaken for other officers all the time. Nobody looks above the shoulders. All they see is the badge and the gun and the uniform.
Now, when you say you're mistaken for other officers, do you mean like Bob in patrol, or do you mean like a detective or something?
Any uniformed patrolman. We are all basically interchangeable. Quite frequently we get the, well, you were here last time, and I frequently tell people I was not here last time. At the time you called us last time, I was asleep in bed.
I like telling people it wasn't me, but it was someone dressed like me.
That's good, I like that.
And that usually confuses them long enough to change the subject.
Frequently we get the interchangeable officer because we have a lot of either balding and or have chosen to shave their heads. It looks like a neo-Nazi rally sometimes, but they are very easy to mistake. We have literally probably half a dozen of them.
Without giving up too much about your actual appearance, are you bald?
I am not. I've got lovely flowing locks.
Lovely flowing locks. I bet that's on your business card. Hey, you know, one of the things I wanted to get into here on the crossover is I know some of your readers are learning about me for the first time, and some of my readers learning about you, and I don't even know the answer to this question, so I'm sitting down with a glass of wine. I would like to know what got Motor Cop blogging in the first place.
Wow, okay. Actually, it was initially was something that I wanted to do just to vent my frustration. When I first got on the bike, I was assigned to the motor unit about 4.5 years ago. I would actually start to get a number of complaints because I don't have a whole heck of a lot of patience for stupidity.
And it's a good quality.
Yeah. I run into it more often than I care to. Having a vehicle that I can vent to, at the time, I thought the only person that would ever read it, only people that would ever read it would be the wife and my mom. Turns out that more people read it than I suspected, and it has kind of morphed into entertainment, education, and still venting, because I still post the occasional, you're not going to believe what happened to me today.
Occasional.
A little less frequent of late, but I'm trying to remedy that. Initially I started... just to have something to an outlet, and once I started doing that, my complaints took a nosedive, and I kind of chilled out a little, evened me out, if you will.
It really is a stress reliever, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Shouting into this empty room we call the internet machine.
Indeed.
So, would you say that blogging saved your sanity?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I was never the type to, growing up in a public service household with a firefighter dad, communication between the family was always key. So I've never been the type of guy that will come home and kick the dog or take it out on the wife or the kids or anything like that. But I would still come home a little screwed into the ceiling and want to vent to the wife. And eventually she was like, listen, you got to vent. I don't mind you venting to me, but good Lord, you need a bigger audience. So she was one of the catalysts that helped me get my emotion out, if you will.
Nice, and I love reading your emotion. I also, it's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess. And I'll bring it up: language and profanity.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now.
I steer away from it mainly because I'm a happy guy. I smile a lot, and it's hard to say bad words when you smile. Also, the chicks dig it. I don't know if you knew this, but
the smile or your pleasant demeanor.
The answer is yes.
Good man.
But the reason I love reading your blog is you don't hold anything back. There's nothing hidden. I know exactly how you're feeling. And some of the word choices when you're talking with these people, you know, you don't call them, you know, driver one and passenger one or anything like that. You come up with these really clever names for them, and you never hold back. Is that part of it, or is that just a little bit extra to kind of, there?
That quite frequently, that's the conversations that I'm having in my head. There are two things going on when I stop somebody. The professional, do you know why I stopped you? You know, license, registration, insurance, blah, 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 boring, boring, boring. And then there's the subtext that's going on in my, you know, like the inner monologue, if you will, of what I would like to say to somebody. And that is frequently riddled with words that my mom doesn't like.
Now, I know in EMS, if I spout off to a patient or a client or even just someone on the road the truth, even though it may be riddled with colorful language, I can get in lots of trouble. Is that the same with you, or is the way you speak on the blog, your inner monologue, just your way of getting it out so you don't say it to them?
Exactly, the latter. My colorful adaptations of what goes on in my head allows me to have an easier time of remaining professional when it matters. I've never sworn at anybody in front of them, I should say, on the job or on a traffic stop, anything like that. I am always, I'm more often than not accused of being curt and businesslike.
How dare you?
Which is crazy, because you can't please everybody all the time. If I am witty with one guy, that's going to be the guy that complains because I was witty and he wanted the serious guy. If I'm too serious with somebody, they're going to complain about that I was too mean to them because I was very just cut and dry, X, Y, and Z. You did this, sign this, have a nice night, see ya. You can't, I truly cannot win. So I've decided that everybody gets treated the same. Some of them like it, some of them don't, whatever. When I get home and I can blog about it, I'll tweak it a little bit so it's a little more entertaining because it's my crazy head. But I'm very professional when it comes to being on the job. I don't use the language around civilians or the public, or we certainly do around the PD, of course, but, you know, I'm sure you guys do the same thing at the firehouse.
Of course not.
Yeah. Everybody loves a fireman.
One thing I like that you said is that you just mentioned, you try to keep the same demeanor with every person. And that seems almost the opposite of what I do, where I have to be best friends with every person I meet on the job. And I have to tailor my approach and my demeanor, my language, my mannerisms for each patient. I could have a 95-year-old woman who I hold myself differently, I stand differently, I speak differently, I use different words than the 16-year-old, you know, that I'm going to have 20 minutes later. Do you do that as well? Do you find yourself choosing different words to relate to different people that you meet? Or is it really just that trying to keep it the same because everybody's going to pick something out?
I should say that what I mean by keeping everything the same, that's mostly on a traffic stop scenario. When I stop somebody, from the time that I see a violation to their driving away and I'm writing my notes, is usually less than 5 minutes. It's very quick. I don't get into a lot of debate on the side of the road. That's why God created the court system, and we can talk there. I'm not one to... I don't try and sell my tickets to avoid going to court. I saw X, I stopped you, sign the ticket, have a nice night, like I said. When I'm covering a beat or acting as a cover officer on crime detail or a civil detail or anything that's not necessarily traffic-related, then that's where the tailoring comes in. I'm not going to interact the same way with a soccer mom who's, you know, the victim of domestic violence versus, you know, the 75-year-old cranky guy who, you know, I stopped for running a stop sign. You can change the way you interact with people. Mostly I do it in a way that's going to make it easiest to get the information I need. I would imagine just like you do.
Yeah, exactly the same. So it's good to know that you can still dip into that that well of skills if you have to. It's almost like being an actor sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, God, absolutely.
Yeah. And these young kids these days with their different words.
You would know more about the famous acting thing than I would, co-EMS boy.
Well, it's all reality, remember there, motor boy. Yeah, no acting at all. Although Mark Glencore swears that I do a fake Hispanic laugh in that episode.
Can we hear an example of that?
No, but you know, folks can go to chroniclesofvms.com and watch the show listen to it.
Shameless plug, I like it.
Yeah, well, are there any other kinds?
No.
Now, one thing I want to bring up is, you know, reminding our audience, you and I have met face to face before. And I remember the first time, maybe not the first time, second time maybe, I got you off on a rant on something that you're very, very passionate about, in my opinion. And I would like your listeners to hear you talk about your quota. What is your quota? And how many times do people ask you that?
I don't know what you're talking about. A quota is an evil, evil word. Quotas actually are illegal. You cannot require us to get X number of tickets. Quotas are right up there on my pet peeve chart with speed traps, which we can get into at some other point. But the point being that a quota and speed traps are both misnomers. They are not what you think they are. Quotas in particular have been against the law for I don't know how long, but quite some time. We have what is called performance objectives. Now, you could say that that's a gentle euphemism for a quota. In my opinion, it's just like any other position, any other job. If you're an accountant, they expect you to perform to a certain level, and that's that. Quite honestly, my objective every month, my personal objective, is higher than what the powers that be see, what they ask me for every month, just because traffic lights my fire. It drives me insane to see people driving like morons and putting others at risk, putting themselves at risk, putting me at risk for having to chase their dumbasses down and tell them that they're being stupid. Quotas drive me crazy when people say that. And the other thing that comes up is, it's the end of the month. I have to get in, you know, that one more. And there's from the invention of the internet, I'm sure there have been the time immemorial email posts about what cops say when somebody says something like that. Oh, if I write one more, I get a toaster or
steak knives,
or I'm finally going to get that trip to Vegas. And you know, it's all nonsensical and it's bullshit. It's just a matter of people want to assign blame anywhere else but in their own laps. They want to be able to say, well, it's my fault, me being the cop. It's the cop's fault because he just had to make some quota. It's not really my fault that I almost hit that little girl on a bicycle because I ran a stop sign or a red light or I was doing 85 miles an hour. In a residential zone. I mean, It's very frustrating, but again, how many times have I posted about personal responsibility and blame shifting? I actually said that to a guy a couple weeks ago that he was blame shifting, and he looked at me like I was insane. I got a good chuckle out of it, and I ended up posting about it, of course.
And a good post it was. The blame shifting, it goes on in your field and mine. You know, I think we see a lot of the same people.
I have no doubt of that.
Goodness.
Many of the folks that live in my little neck of the woods probably work in your neck of the woods, and, you know, it's amazing the people you run into.
It really is, and there's really no shortage of people being stupid on the road, so it's... I just can't understand how people would think you're just hiding on your duck pond, you know, bored, and nothing's happening, so you're just going to pull somebody over for no reason. There's an overabundance of people doing things that are not only unsafe, but against vehicle code and, you know, things that you need to talk to them about.
I can't go from the PD to Starbucks without seeing somebody do something stupid. And you know how us cops love coffee.
Yep. It's like firemen and ice cream.
My dad always used to say that he felt it was his personal mission. He felt he was doing somebody a favor if he told them they were stupid. Because otherwise, if nobody tells that person, how are they going to know? It's a public service.
That's a good point. Unfortunately, you know, MC, you can't tell people they're stupid. You might hurt their feelings.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Well, I can't...
That was insensitive and inappropriate. I apologize.
Well, if I'm stupid, please tell me. But, you know, we're...
That's been recorded, and everybody's going to hear that now.
Yes, and...
It's now my moral obligation to do this. You understand?
And I put out a challenge to anybody that sees me doing something stupid. Please call me and tell me I'm doing something stupid.
Oh, I have to witness it?
Yes.
Oh.
Or if I'm saying something stupid, or...
Okay.
Hold on a second. This conversation has drawn attention from the wife. She's on the other side of the room. And me talking about, if I do something stupid, call me out on it. She's laughing now. She's laughing. I think she's laughing because we started our own podcast when people weren't talking about what we were. Is there an issue? Mrs. Happy? No? Okay. No, she's just laughing. She wants to be on the show, but I won't let her.
Live radio, everybody.
That's right. Live radio on delay. But what's going on in your neck of the woods, law enforcement? What's new? What's happening?
Well, I just got back from a week-long camping trip / working camping trip. I attended a conference up in Lake Tahoe for the California Association of Accident Reconstruction Specialists.
Specialists. There should be. I'll see if I can put an echo on that. That sounds fancy.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Short term, it's called CARS. That's what all that.
That's why they wanted it to. Okay.
Clever. We are nothing if not clever. So we went up a couple days early and turned it into a kind of a working vacation. I went to a conference about 2.5 days. We were up there for 5, so a little camping with the fam, and got to see my brain melt a little bit with a bunch of crazy math. And yeah, it was a good time. But other than that, I have no idea what's been going on in the world. Like I said, you know, the East Coast could have fallen off. I've been camping and enjoying the family.
Yeah, well, you know, being a hometown guy, Giants fan, you know, I'm kind of hoping the Phillies don't notice that the East Coast fell into the water.
Well, you know, if it did, wouldn't they be that much closer to it now?
I'm confused geographically. Aren't they in Ohio?
Ah.
Philadelphia, Ohio, right?
That's what I thought.
And they think I'm stupid. Hey, I got to call you to task real quick. On your blog, you put up a video. The animators, I don't know who it was. I'll try to pull it up while you're talking about it here. The mechanism of injury video.
Indeed.
Hilarious. I was first shown this in Dallas. One of the guys at the EMS conference in Dallas said, hey, you need to check out this video. They pulled up your blog and played the video to show me, which I thought was hilarious.
Did they not know that you know me?
Apparently not. But that then, awesome. Me being an idiot, I say, email it to me. I know somebody who's going to love to see that. And I sent it to you because, of course, the last thing I do when I'm at an EMS conference is check a cop blog. But this video you put up, folks can see it at motorcopblog.com. Scroll down or just search for video, I guess. But it's the highway patrol guy and a little two-vehicle collision. And fire just goes absolutely insane. Sounds like you're looking for the link there.
I am.
Super. Fire just comes in and goes insane, and a couple issues I wanted to bring up. Number one, everybody keeps pointing at the bumper and saying, wow, look at that mechanism of injury. And, you know, in EMS, we're talking about how mechanism of injury is pretty much a bunch of BS. You know, it was used as pretty much the guide to whether or not we were going to fly people or take them lights and sirens, throw them on a backboard and all this. And we're starting to learn that if we teach people exactly what that mechanism was, that we're actually able to give people better treatment. So instead of saying, wow, look, the bumper's all messed up, we can look and say, wow, the bumper's messed up, but there's no intrusion into the trunk. So knowing how the vehicles are designed to absorb, there probably wasn't that much energy transferred into the passenger compartment. It sounds like that's kind of what you were studying at your, I'm sorry, let me say it again, Lake Tahoe camping retreat class?
Yep.
Did I say that properly?
You did.
Oh.
Lovely. With just enough sarcasm and snarkiness. I love it.
Well, I do love some snark.
Don't I know it.
But that's what you were learning up there, right? Is after the fact, be able to take the cars and figure out how fast they were going and all that junk?
There's actually a 40-hour class that I took a year and a half, 2 years ago, maybe, called Crush. And in a very small nutshell, it's basically... you take measurements from a damaged vehicle, and you take measurements from the same vehicle that is undamaged. So you got an 88 Honda Accord that's been destroyed. You find another 88 Honda Accord, and you can forensically map or shoot it using a total station. And based on the how much intrusion there is from where it used to be, you can do some pretty fancy mind-melting math and get a speed of the vehicle that hit it, or if it hit a tree or some kind of barrier, you can figure out the amount of energy in foot-pounds or, you know, any other kind of crazy metric denomination you want to use that will help you determine the speed of the vehicle at the point of impact.
Now, I've seen all that fancy math on CSI, of course.
Well, why do you got to bring up that the worst show on television?
Because there are lots of bad EMS shows on television. So I just want to remind everyone that some of the best shows on TV are not accurate at all. Thanks, I got that out of my system.
Is Trauma still on, or did they get canceled? They got canceled.
They got canceled a long time ago. But I'm such a crazy guy. I still have the last three episodes on my DVR.
Oh my God!
But here's the thing.
Remember the part where you told me I'm supposed to tell you when you're being stupid?
Listen.
Who knew it was going to come back so quickly?
Hear me out, blogger boy. I have the last three episodes on the DVR. I want to watch them so they can be gone, but as soon as I watch them, the show is gone. Does that make sense?
In a kind of a sad way, it would make more sense if, for example, you were holding on to the last three episodes of Firefly. I get that.
Well, those are available on Hulu, by the way. You can watch five episodes at a time. They release a new one every Monday. No, I just think it's funny because I'm holding on to those three episodes, and right above that in my DVR list is Hoarders Buried Alive. So I'm reminded every time I look at it that I'm no better than these people I'm watching. But back to the video that you put up.
You are a sad little monkey.
Yes, I am. The video you put up with the, wow, look at that mechanism of injury. The fire captain rolls over, you know, let's see what we have here. And he's got an axe slung through his turnout coat.
Tell me you guys do that, please.
No, we don't.
You're shattering all of my images of you.
However, I brought it up at the firehouse at 51, and I showed the guys, and they said, dude, if our coats came that way, I would do that. So,
see, that's awesome.
Yeah, me, I wouldn't, because I like to lay down a lot and relax, and I would cut my head open on my axe.
Well, not to mention the fact that you would probably tear the shit out of those nice lazy boys you guys got at the firehouse.
Wow, you're right. It's almost like you've been in one before.
I know, crazy.
Yep. So, one other thing real quick, the third thing from those videos. As the firefighters, EMTs, the helicopter lands and everything, the traffic guy rolls his eyes. How often do you do that in a day?
Based on what fire does or just in general?
Fire than in general.
Okay, fire. Well, honestly, I only run into the fire guys at collision scenes, and quite honestly, great bunch of guys. I very seldom have. To be honest with you, I don't know that I could point at one incident that I rolled my eyes at them. They're much more like you and I than. Maybe it's an old school versus social media savvy school. I just invented a school, I think, by the way. So I don't think there's been many instances, if any, that I can look at them and be like, oh God, really? I think it's just a matter of looking at the past and hanging on to the dinosaurs and just the old jokes, the old hackneyed rivalries between police and fire that make us who we are. In general, I roll my eyes probably on an hourly basis. And quite honestly, it maybe occasionally at the public, mostly it's rolling my eyes at either the people I work with or myself. Mostly myself.
Oh, you're lying now.
I'm self-deprecating, am I not?
No, I roll my eyes. Let's see, if I go on 4 or 5 medical runs in a day, I'll probably roll my eyes 6 or 7 times. Now, let me ask you a question. When people call 911, they don't call and say, send a motorcycle and a traffic officer, right? They just say, help, I need the police.
Indeed.
You get there and you're allowed to tell people what's going on and make decisions and all that. We covered in our first episode that I don't get to do that. People tell me what to do. One of the other things I'm very interested in, and we've got just enough time for you to go off on this topic, if I attempt to record my contacts with my patients, that's a big no-no.
Right.
But you record your stops.
I do.
Now, are those admissible in court?
Absolutely. There's no legal requirement for me to notify in California. Let's put that caveat out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no legal requirement for me to notify people that they're being recorded. I have never had a subpoena for any recording. It used to be that I would haphazardly do it. Now I do it more often than not. Record the stop, I mean, and save them. Usually I would save them for about a week, and if somebody didn't complain, then I would just delete it. But people come out of the woodwork months later, and it's very strange. But primarily, I do those recordings to cover my ass, and it saved my bacon more times than I know what to do with. Frivolous complaints, people out and out. Ooh, did she just slap you?
Yes, it happens hourly.
Wow.
That's why this is a 30-minute show.
Very nice.
I don't want people to hear that twice.
Hey, do you need to call 911? Are you all right?
I might. I could use an ambulance ride somewhere else.
You know, we could have used that at the intro, the domestic violence. Maybe for next time.
That's a great idea. Now, I know people come out of the woodwork for your audio recordings. Does your bike even have a dash? Do you have a dash camera? Could we see some video of you cutting through traffic and such?
We do not have those as of yet, but that is in the works. Much like my desire to post some of my stops, there have been questions mostly in my own head about the, not necessarily the legality of it, but the smartness, the smartiness behind doing that, or not doing it, I should say. Probably better if I leave well enough alone. You know, maybe I could record something on a doing some cone patterns and stuff like that. But as far as posting an actual traffic stop, not the best idea, I don't think.
No,
however,
I don't think so either.
I do have a suggestion for you and our friendly listeners.
What's that? Just go out and speed and get stopped and see what it's
like? No. I think that maybe they should see or hear or read, depending on how this all works out, your version of coming out and going on a ride with Motor Cop.
Oh, I like that.
That could work out, right?
Now, you'll be on the bike, and then I just get on the back and I hold you?
Hold on ever so tight.
Yes. We'd obviously have to be in a car, right?
Yeah, we'd have. I'd have to lose the cool boots and all that, and wear the
chaps and the helmet. And
yeah, no chaps. Well, I could still wear the chaps. It'd be a little weird, but
okay. I'll wear the chaps. That wouldn't be weird at all.
So, no, that would not be weird.
Can I come and ride with you?
Absolutely.
And then blog about it, provided that, you know, I don't give away that you're in San Diego.
God, I wish I was in San Diego.
The weather looks nice down there.
Weather's all. If you want to know what the weather is in San Diego, it's going to be 72 and overcast nine months out of the year.
Probably. Yeah.
I live down there, so you know.
Well, super. Let's do this. I'm going to come right along with Motorcop.
Okay.
And I'm going to chronicle, and because that's what I do. And I'm going to write about it, and we'll get some pictures that don't give away where you are, but maybe me in the car. That would
in
be
the front seat or the back seat?
Either. I've heard it both ways. Can I do like the Super Troopers with the shotgun? Can I hold the shotgun for some shots?
Believe it or not, anybody who comes out with comes on a ride with me, I make sure they know how to use the shotgun should I get shot and need somebody to pull my ass out of the fire.
Yeah, you know full well from TAC Response Conference that I probably shouldn't be holding it.
Well, you see, the shotgun, it's more of a spray and pray. You point at what you want to hit and you let loose. There's not a whole lot of aiming involved with the shotgun.
You know, maybe I'll pull a Kaylee and just close my eyes and see what happens.
There you go.
I think that'll work. Well, super. I'm excited now. And if it goes well, now that I'm going to be going out as a rescue captain in the buggy in the city, maybe if I get one of the captain spots one of these days, you can come ride with me and tell your readers what it's like to get yelled at and told what to do and just have to bite your lip and let it happen.
I can dig it. I'm in.
Awesome. Well, super. Anything else you want to tell the listeners before we cut episode 2 of the crossover short?
You know, I did want to mention the TAC Response Conference. It was I was actually pleasantly surprised. There was a lot more police representation than I was expecting. I kind of figured we would be overrun with you EMS types, but I actually got to see old Happy Medic have a gun in his hand and a laser gun and do some scenarios, and it was impressive. I was, you know, you brought that up again, so I thought I'd let you know. I thought you did a good job.
Well, thank you so much, sir. I'd like to get you on maybe next week or the week after and try to get Mr. Ted Settler in here. Mr. Settler was at the Urban Shield exercises this weekend.
I saw that.
Up here in the San Francisco, Oakland Bay area, doing some great filming with some active shooter scenarios and really, really trying to incorporate all aspects of first response into some of these scenarios. But it looked really SWAT-based and very interesting. And maybe get him in to talk about it, and I think my listeners would love to hear about it, and maybe yours as well, and mainly I need you to decode some of the terms they were using, because half of what you guys say makes no sense. And then maybe you can, well, it won't work on the radio, but some of those hand signals they were doing, it's like point at my eyes, and then point at the ground, and then point at the watch. I don't know if that means we're going to sit down in 5 minutes, or what all that means.
You know, I'm a traffic dork, I'm not a SWAT dork. But I will say that a lot of that stuff is very, you know, common sense. Point your eyes. I'm looking over here. I want you to go there, you know.
I don't know. I just use words, mainly.
Maybe you could point at your coffee mug and point to the probie and then point to the coffee pot.
That works. I get that.
See?
I love
it. All a big circle, man.
Super. Well, until next time, Mr. Motorcop at motorcopblog.com. It was wonderful speaking to you. And
Thank you, sir.
Do this again real soon.
Sounds good to me. I'm in.
Right on. Be well.
You too.
The crossover is for information only and should not be considered established law or policy unless cited. Your hosts are simply tired of talking to us, the wives, so we just let them talk to each other. Win-win. Offer not valid in all territories, board wherever wine is not shipped. If a rash develops, please call 911 and ask for Angelo. If desire to improve EMS lasts for more than 4 hours, consult your service manager on how to make it a reality. Please follow all local protocols and guidelines. If you try to defend doing something stupid by citing a guy who uses a cartoon and calls himself happy, perhaps you're in the wrong line of work.
Squad 51 returning to quarters.
Squad 51.